Turn to Psalm 52, please. Short little psalm. I'll change that. Well, here's the deal. In Psalm 52, the introduction tells an entire story. It says, to the chief musician, a contemplation of David when Doeg, the Edomite, went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech. And so David, a songwriter, looking at the situation, having dealt with the situation with King Saul and his servant Doeg, David being a songwriter, he thought he'd write a song for the guy. If you notice this psalm, it's not the nicest song anybody could write for you. If somebody's writing you a song, it's good if you are a good person. But Doeg was not a good person. And before we get into this, I will give you some background that will help us understand David's angle. Although, generally speaking, there is a lesson for us in it. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your presence here tonight. We want to thank you for your word and the things that it teaches us, the things that it does to us. And I ask you, Lord, to lead me and guide me by your Holy Spirit and teach all of us by your Holy Spirit. May we be drawn closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we read the psalm, let's tell you a story of King David about 1050 BC, right around there, when Israel's first king was a Benjamite. That was Saul, and Saul was really chosen by the people. God gave Saul to the people because the people wanted a king. And the Lord gave them exactly what they were looking for. Just answering their prayer, even though God knew that what they wanted was going to be harmful for them. God even warned them, this guy's going to be harmful to you. And they said, no, we just go ahead and take the king. And of course, Saul did great to start, and then he turned into a real scoundrel, or should I say that his nature came to the surface, and he had all kinds of real abusive motivations for the people and getting them to go to war. And then Saul became very self-willed. And the next thing you know, in the middle of a battle with the Philistines, some young man named David came around and made Saul very jealous. And Saul then sought to kill David. Of course, Saul, in all of his disobedience, all of his self-will, well, he was informed that the throne would be taken from him and given to a man who was better than him. Well, Saul would learn that this young man who killed Goliath, this young man who played the harp, he was the guy that was better than him. And it just destroyed Saul on the inside. And Saul was filled with bitterness. And Saul then sought to kill David. And that's what's going on as you look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. That's when David finally convinces Saul's son, Jonathan, that Saul is trying to kill him. And so David then runs for his life as a fugitive. Or as somebody. He's being hunted by Saul. Saul was looking to kill him. And David did some really interesting things during that time. And one of the things he did is that when in chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, David went into the house of the Lord at Nob, that was the city where it was at the time, and he met with the priest Ahimelech there. And David actually lied to Ahimelech And he said, well, what are you doing here? And David had a bunch of his men with him and said, David said, well, you know, we've been sent on a mission from a king. So, but we're really hungry and we're really hurting. And so Ahimelech gave David and his men the showbread. The showbread was not something that they were supposed to eat. That was only for the priests to eat. But because of the David's need and because you know, the priest believed him, gave him the showbread, and also gave him Goliath's sword. And but there was somebody that was there. And it says that he was detained there for some reason. It was Doeg the Edomite. And it's real clear in the scriptures that Doeg was an Edomite. He was not an Israelite, but he was a servant of Saul. And him being detained in the temple, in the house of God, was, you know, everybody's got a lot of speculation as to why he was being detained. Either he was paying a vow, or he was in trouble, or he was a new proselyte. Obviously, he was not an Israelite. He was an Edomite. He was not of Israel, but he became of Israel because he actually worked for Saul. We don't know why he was detained there, but he was there watching the entire exchange between Ahimelech and David. And when he was no longer detained, he went back to Saul, and you read in chapter 22. And Saul is saying, "What, you know, how come nobody's helping me here?" And then Doeg said, "I know where he is." He went to Ahimelech, the priest, and he ate the showbread. And he also, Doeg lied about the situation with Ahimelech. He said, and David asked for a message from the Lord through Ahimelech. Well, not really. David just went there to get what he could and run for his life. But Doeg wanted to see it the way he wanted to see it. And he was just, and he, it didn't bug him to squeal on David. But it's worse than that, because it was then that Saul brought his men to Nob, the city where the house of God was. And Saul had his men kill the priest and all the priests that were there, but the men wouldn't do it. Saul's servants wouldn't do it. These are the priests of God. You don't kill them. And Doeg said, I'll do it. And so Doeg, with a sword, wiped out every priest but one priest. These are unarmed men, having never held a sword, and they were murdered because Saul was mad, and Doeg had no problem doing it. In fact, Doeg loved doing that so much, he went into the city and he wiped out the city. And he, as it says, that he killed the women and nursing babies with the sword. This is Doeg. And so, with all of this in mind, David running for his life, and behind him, in his wake, is nothing but destruction. David was actually blaming himself at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 22. David said, it's my fault that the priests are dead. David did have some fault in it. But it was not David's fault. I'll explain that. So, with all of that in mind, David writes him a song. Writes a song for Doeg. And that's where we are now. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? Which, by the way, many commentators suggest, and I'm with them on this, that, you know, Doeg, well, he's not so mighty. He's a coward. Cowards kill unarmed people, unarmed innocent people. Cowards kill babies. So why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? Little sarcasm from our songwriter. The goodness of God endures continually. You know, Doeg, there's nothing that you can do to stop the goodness of God. God will always be good. Which, by the way, this is something that, you know, for people that say, oh, where was God when all of this happened? Well, God wasn't invited, that's for sure. Doeg didn't want God anywhere around. Saul didn't want anything to do with God. They all pretend they wanted something to do with God, but they go in there and do what they will, and God gives us the free will to do that. But God is good, and for anybody who would want to walk with God, goodness will follow them. He goes on to say, your tongue devises destruction, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Selah, that is that musical interlude where it gives us time to consider what is being said. And it's just amazing that anybody would love evil more than good or lying more than what is right. But, and of course, that's breaking number 9 of the top 10. But the thing about lying and the thing about speaking evil or using your tongue to work deceitfully or whatever the case may be, there's a reason that he was doing this. Well, just go read verse 4. It goes along with it. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. And then it'll get you places. Doeg was the only one who obeyed King Saul. The others were willing to be killed by King Saul as not to disobey the Lord by killing the priest. But this Doeg was an Edomite. He had no heart for God's laws. He had no heart for God's ways whatsoever. Though he was a proselyte of some sort, he had no history with them. And so it was much easier for him to do it. And also, it would get him in with King Saul. And so, you know, if lying will help you do that, if doing evil will help you get more for yourself, well, welcome to earth. That's what people do. There are so many people that you and I know that have no problem lying just as long as they can get something out of it. You know, there are plenty of salesmen out there. Lie to you straight. I talked to guys that, you know, work in real estate that, you know, as one man told me that, you know, there's that game that goes on. He told me, this is how you do it. You lie to him, your customer. You lie to him. And then he lies to you. And you both know that you're lying. But you just keep lying. Because that's the game. That's how it's done. I'd had a discussion later. We were playing over at Dan's house, playing that wonderful game of lying. Balderdash, however you want to say it. And this game. You're supposed to lie for fun. And I think that there are some instances where it is okay to lie. And if we find it through the scriptures, and that is to save a life. Where Rahab, for instance, lied about the spies. Now, nothing is spoken of her lie as the lie being a good thing, but the lie is like not even addressed when she's brought up in Hebrews chapter 11. But she lied, and she got written up in the Hall of Faith for her hiding the spies. David lied about his mission, that he would get showbread to eat. Now, yeah, David was saving his own skin, and I think that there's somewhere messed up about that, but all the other guys that were with him, he was saving their lives. I know people that think it's a, you know, as long as it's saving their own life that they can lie. I don't think it's good for your own life, but I do think it's good to save others' lives. In fact, if you, you know, some people are very big on this, that if lying, how do you say this? Some people are big on this, that lying is never a good idea, ever, 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 ever. Don't ever lie. And I asked them, I asked one guy, he was a pastor actually, I said, so if there are some bad guys chasing me and trying to kill me, and I came to your house and hid under your bed, and the bad guys came knocking at the door and they said, is Kevin here? You would say, yes, he's under the bed. You know what he said to me? He said, well, I'd have to tell the truth because I don't want to sin against God. And I said, well, good. I won't be hiding at your house then. I can't. How many people hid the Jews during the Holocaust? And they had to lie in order to do it. And we praise God for those liars. I have never been in a situation where I ever had to lie. I want you to know that. Too many people, though, would take something like this and say, well, I had to lie because if I didn't, then I, well, you know, I wasn't going to get what I wanted out of it, you know. So don't even go there. We're talking about saving lives. Because people are more important than rules, as Jesus even brought up David and the showbread. I'm going to get into all of this. There's another thing where it's okay to lie, and I think it's not in the scriptures, but you may agree with me, and I'll take it up with God when I get there. And that's the event of a surprise party. Okay. But Doeg was stretching the truth, making things, you know, very happily squealing on David, but also embellishing the story a little bit in order to get on Saul's good side. It was all for himself. And then also in order that he could destroy God's people. And so there are people that just love lying. They're just, because it'll actually get you places But I guarantee you, it'll get you to hell. It reads in Revelation that all liars will burn in the lake of fire forever. And just as it reads on, verse 5, God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. And this is the basic sowing and reaping. As Doeg had no problem destroying innocent people, innocent, unarmed people. And so the Lord will destroy him. Remember, we all get what we give. And of course, Selah, don't forget to think about this. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in wickedness. And this is where we're going to have to just believe that David was aware that Doeg had gained something from Saul, and that Saul had actually given riches to Doeg for being so faithful to Saul to kill the priests of God. Although, there's a general lesson for all of us. And I actually read these two verses, verses 6 and 7. I read verse 7 this morning regarding riches and how foolish it is, how silly it is to trust the money, to chase the money, to make the money the thing. Because in the end, you will have nothing and you will be embarrassed. the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. The righteous see the Lord. They see the Lord. People who know the Lord understand the fear of the Lord. They understand that God is big. But then also, you know, it's going to be such a happy day for David when he sees Doeg suffering for the things that he did. Which, you could say, well, that's kind of an Old Testament thing where you just say, you know, God get him. Yes, David has prayed, and we'll get to those psalms. Actually, we're coming up to one pretty soon. You know, break his teeth in his mouth, O Lord. And so these are the honest prayers of David. But Paul actually has some of those honest prayers. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says this. This is New Testament. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. But that's the depth of it. You know, it's not up to Paul, and it wasn't up to David. David didn't chase after Doeg. David just said, you know what, buddy? You're going down. And God's got you. And Paul was saying that about Alexander. And I think it's not a horrible thing for you and I. If, you know, if there's somebody that has done much harm in the church, yes, we should pray for their repentance and that God would save them. But, you know, you give them to God. Like Paul gave Alexander to God. You know what? Alexander was a creep. May God deal with him. And really, that's just, in short, what David is saying about Doeg. Doeg is a creep. And God will deal with him. I wish that we could do that better. Because you and I know a couple of creeps. We know some creepy people. May we truly release them to the Lord. Not, you know, as David releases Doeg for judgment. But why don't we just release people to the Lord for God's will in their lives? And let's get on with it. But anyway. And so there it is. So Doeg is busted. He's going down. And David is pretty happy about that. He's written him a song. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. So David is saying, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I think about chapter Psalm 1. You know, blessed are they who are... I better read it because I'll misquote it. Man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see, David is saying, I am a green tree. I am planted by the river. I am seeking the Lord. And as a result, the Lord lives in me and through me. And here, and I think David, reflecting back on the house of God there, the lamps are lit by olive oil. And so David is just saying, hey, I've got the Holy Spirit of God in me. And that's not a boastful thing to say. It's just the truth. I think David was almost reminding himself as well. And sometimes you and I got to remind ourselves, especially when we got bad guys chasing us down trying to kill us. You just stop for a second and say, wait a minute, I have the Holy Spirit of God in me. And I'm going to walk with God. I trust in God's mercy. And he's going to praise God forever and ever, not just today, or not just when things look good to him. But today, tomorrow, and it's true forever. Because God will settle everything. his judgments are right. And David is saying that he will wait on God's name in the presence of God's saints. And that is, he will stand his ground in the Lord, and people will see him standing that ground. What good are we if we're not standing our ground in the Lord in the day of trouble? But my favorite words here in verses 8 and 9 are, "but I." Notice he's been slamming Doeg, because Doeg is a liar, he's a murderer, he is self-serving, he has trusted in his riches. But I. Anytime you and I are faced with a wicked person, we should all be able to say, "but I." Not in a self-righteous way, but, well, in a couple months, I'm going back to Peru to teach the pastoral epistles, and there are a few different occasions in the pastoral epistles where Paul is telling Timothy, "but you." We read to you 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 11. "Now, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." May there always be a contrast between us, or between you, and the world. May the person you're ragging on not be a reflection of you. Jesus said, "Hey, you know, you want to get a speck out of somebody's eye when you got a big old log in your eye." 2 Timothy 3, this is kind of long, 1 through 14. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you..." He always gave Timothy that contrast. You know, you and I will look out at a wicked world and we go, "Ah, these people are..." But wait. Look at everything on this list that I just read. Is there any of that, well, that's a part of your life? Let me read the "but you" part. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." This world's fallen apart. But you. We don't have to flow down that river like a dead fish. The whole world is flowing in this direction, but you. It's a great, because it's not just in 1 and 2 Timothy. You see a couple of them in 1 Corinthians, a couple of them in Ephesians. Just do a study on but you. If you ever want to know what it is to walk with Christ. David sees the wickedness of Doeg, and it hurts him. And he knows something. I better not do that. I belong to the Lord. I won't lie. I won't seek my own stuff. I'm going to stay connected to the Lord. Doeg is a creep, but I. The world lives in sin, but I. And my prayer is that all of us would take to heart all of the but yous and the but I's in the scriptures. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that we would be planted by the river where you would grow your fruit in us and through us. Help us to turn over to you those who maybe have come against us for whatever reason. Lord, first that you would save them. But if they will not be saved, Lord, help us just to give them to you. You're way better with people than we are. Thank you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.